It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles, and Lake Havasu City to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you. You, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show. 234-343-1065. That's 234-343-1065. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Toonforce.
Good day and welcome to Speak Out 2.0. It's a wonderific Wednesday. It is the 14th of February. Happy birthday, Arizona. Also, you're going to see our flags around our state today at half mast in the state of Arizona because the governor has ordered them at half mast today in honor of U.S. Marine Sergeant Alec Lagan, one of the individuals that was killed last week. So that's why your flags are at half staff today. Today we will not be taking phone calls because you're going to be listening to a recorded conversation, interview that I had with Tyler Carlson on Monday. Now you remember MEC had their town hall Monday evening. So this was pre-town hall. So sit back and enjoy this. We're going to go with it. It's going to be fast moving. And here we go.
And as I mentioned, this is a pre-recorded interview with Tyler Carlson, the CEO of Mojave Electric Cooperative. How are you, Tyler?
Great.
Good. And you've got with you today Chris.
Chris Jimenez from EPCO, Arizona Electric Power Cooperative.
And we were talking before we got on the air. MEC is kind of like a gas station. You distribute the gas. You don't, I mean, the gas station doesn't create our fuel. They distribute it to us when we go up to them, stick it in our pump, stick it in our truck. You kind of are the same way. Your distribution of electric power.
That's correct. I'm not sure that the gas one is a great analogy, but it's your analogy.
It's the best I can come up with.
Not a problem. But we are a distribution cooperative, meaning that we actually do we're the last mile, the last endpoint. Our system is built to make sure that we can take the generation and transmission from the bulk system and then get it distributed to people, whether it be rural or residential, whether it be commercial, industrial. That's our job, is distribute that electricity to the end use customer.
So I've been in Bullhead 43 years and an MEC customer for 43 years. Remember, I don't know of a time in my 43 years here that we had the blackout that we had a year and a half ago over the holiday weekend. Has that driven some of your desires now to look for other resources for energy?
Well, kind of ancillary to it. The reality is our load growth. Our load has grown quite a bit over the last few years, and you have to find a way in which to meet that load growth. Now, if you meet that load growth by going on the market, you're subject to whatever the vagrancies of the market are, so whatever those prices are. And it's over the last 3 or 4 years, it has been ridiculous. The market prices have been ridiculous. If you're an MEC member, you have seen your power fuel cost adder, which is power cost adjuster, go from a negative to a positive. That's all a result of actually load growth and actually relying on the market. Now, if you've been here that long, you probably have forgotten the 1996 blackout, which occurred and took out most of Arizona.
I forgot.
That was in July of 1996, and it was a huge outage. It outage originated up in Washington State, came all the way through Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. All of the entities that are in the business, like APS or SRP or even EPCO at the time, their control centers went down. It was a massive outage. It occurred in a very hot day in July. And we also had one in southern Arizona. In 2011, there was a very large outage.
Right.
They had outages of the bulk power system in California in the last 3 or 4 years because there were some fire issues, and they had to take out some transmission lines, and they were having rolling blackouts in California. And then for us, The most recent was, back in September, over a year ago. So it's not totally unusual for the bulk power system to not be available. But
In September, it wasn't just MEC. It was the lines coming to you, correct, that were also down.
Yeah, we had lines down, obviously. But we had the bulk power system was also down for us for about 12 hours. So even if we could actually get lines up, we actually couldn't supply. It's that bulk power system outage scenario. So that then keyed us to when we started to rebuild the system. We rebuilt that system very much more robust. So the winds that occurred back in September would not have taken our new lines down at all. We've actually done a whole bunch of that, and everywhere that we've done line hardening in the past, and you and I talked about line hardening
a year ago, maybe six months ago,
and what that is to make sure that the lines that we do have don't go down in a big storm.
In layman's term, it's called a better pole.
Well, it's not really a better, it's a better line, maybe. It's a more robust, stronger line. So everything that we had done up until September of 2022, none of those lines went down. The stuff that we hadn't gotten to, or the stuff that we didn't anticipate to go down, we've actually rebuilt all of that. So if you consider the way the system is now built, and we put local generation in, that's adjacent to our system or can go right into our system, and that's in the MEC system, not on the transmission system.
Right.
It's right into MEC, that we could have actually brought up that 12-hour outage and made it a lot shorter by actually having our own local generation.
So when you talk about local generation, I was there for the ribbon cutting of your basically a solar plant.
Yes, you were. Yes.
So explain, who would have thought that MEC would get into a solar plant 10 years ago? I mean, that was not heard of.
Yeah, we are, MEC really were all of the above from a standpoint of resources. So we believe there's a place for renewables, and there's a place for batteries. There's a place for standard dispatchable, and that's what this is, a dispatchable unit. What does that mean is that you can actually produce more or less power at any given moment, which you can't do with solar, and you can't necessarily do that with batteries to the limited extent that you can. But you were here last week. We had a lot of rain, right? We had a lot of overcast days. Well, during those overcast days, we were still supplying power, even though the solar was doing very little.
Right.
And the batteries wouldn't have been able to be charged from the solar. So you actually have to have all of those. And the more solar renewables that you put in, because they are not there 24/7, because they are not dispatchable necessarily, I mean, you can't ask the sun to be brighter and the wind to blow more. That actually is not going to happen. You need another resource. And so what we're trying to put in as a resource that actually can respond to all of that is very efficient. It's very it's very environmentally friendly. Natural gas is the cleanest burning fossil fuel, and these are very clean burning units. So we're trying to handle all of the above, get them into our service territory to the extent in which we're not subject to the market. So our issues are market, our issues subject to the market, our issues are our load growth, which you have to accommodate your load growth. Somebody has to provide that electricity. It just doesn't magic. I know that we feel that way when you come in your house and
you just flip on the switch.
And there it is. Yeah.
Get the remote.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that, I know that's the way it seems to somebody, but somebody has to do that. And so we're trying to do all of that. And this emergency situation, which we've been actively working over the last 16, 18 months, trying to figure out who needs to be on in an emergency. And that would be hospitals, that would be fire departments, that would be police departments. So we've been working with the county and the city to establish that list. And now that we've built the backbone up, that particular backbone that we've rebuilt, we'll also then look to what else do we need to do in our distribution system between now and when this gas unit comes into play. So in the event that we have another outage, and they occur.
Sure.
They occur whether you think they occur or not, or even if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they occur when birds get on your lines. They occur when vehicles run into your poles. So, I mean, it's not just the weather is your bad guy.
It isn't. And one of the things that has hit if you're in California, and is really been close for us, is that you can say, well, just buy in the market, and that market purchase can be very, very expensive. And as you know, as an MEC member, truthfully, if we would have had this unit up in 2022 till today, we would not have a plus 2 cents fuel cost adder. It would have saved us that much money.
Okay.
Because of its efficiency and because we weren't in the market. So we would have had all of that. And I think it's north of $11 million that we would have actually saved for our members, which means your fuel cost adder wouldn't have been 2 cents.
Do you see, you're looking at a gas generation plant, basically, and you've got a solar plant. Do you see wind being added to your plan, or is it in your plan?
Well, wind has always been in our plan, but it's to the extent in which we do all resource bidding often. And at all resource bidding, we say, who's going to bid wind to us? The problem is that people aren't bidding the wind to us. That's number one. The second part is because wind is intermittent, even if people say it's windy here all the time.
I know, we all say that.
Yeah, and then last week there was hardly any wind at all. So
there's none today, hardly.
Yeah, so what do you do when there's no wind? It's intermittent, but you still have to deal with the intermittent wind, intermittent solar production. You have to deal with that no matter what. So it really hasn't been cost effective. Where wind is more cost effective is kind of in the tornado belt, which is from the middle of Texas all the way north through the central part of the United States, and they actually do bid in, but they don't. When they bid in, they're not really cost competitive. So we do an all resource thing, and Chris has been very much involved in that. We get very little wind bidding. Is that not right, Chris?
That's correct, yeah.
And we get some solar bidding, but we do all of the above. We do solar, we do batteries, and we do the cleanest form of fossil fuel you can, which is the new technology of natural gas. One can say that some of the old technology of natural gas may not have been as efficient, or may not be as cost effective, but in today's world, we're talking about the most latest and greatest technology.
Okay. So this is something new for you, and you're doing this with, can we say, an oversight or consultant from the state?
Yeah, it's not really from the state, but I appreciate what you're saying. You generally got it, and Larry, you always generally have it.
That's my job.
But specifically, not so much. So what it is that we're going to another not-for-profit cooperative that does nothing but generation and transmission.
Okay.
That's their job. That's what they've been doing. They've been doing it since 1961 or 1962. They've been doing gas units. They've been doing coal units. They've been doing all kinds of different units.
So they create power.
They're the ones that actually have been designing, installing, operating power plants for quite some time, including gas power plants. So we go to them with the expertise, whether it be environmental expertise, engineering expertise. We go with them and say, all right, We need something. We need a quick start unit. We need something that can help when we have these emergencies. Something that'll help supplement intermittent resources like wind and solar and batteries. We need that type of a thing. Then they go off and do the work. They arrange for the natural gas. They arrange for all of that. They do the design, which is not our job. We don't do that. So we would have to figure out our own expertise. And truthfully, I'm sure that we'd miss something. If we didn't, they won't miss anything.
So as you look to getting into a gas generation power plant, there's a lot of misinformation out there on Facebook, on social media about your intentions and where you planned it and all the people that will suffer from this. Explain how you sleep at night and your board sleeps at night.
Sure. Well, first off, I don't do my FaceSpace or Insta Twitter or any of those things. So I'm not in that game, so I don't actually see that. But if you ask me specifically, I understand what people are doing, which is we haven't provided, and normally we don't at this stage, but we haven't provided all this detailed data that we're going to provide here. And it's specific and detailed data, including test results, that type of thing. We're going to provide that.
It's a little early for all that.
This is way early for all of that, such as we have to get permits together before you even start design. So do we have a layout? Do we have a site plan yet? Well, no, we don't. But we understand absent information that we provide that's specific, people are going to make it up or they're going to find it. And they're going to find general information that may or may not be applicable by way of the Internet. We understand that. I somewhat apologize for it, but at the same time, I don't have the data yet. You know, everything is site-specific. And
you're not hiding anything.
I'm not hiding anything. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get it as fast as I can. And we're going to be providing that. And that's one of the things that we provided at the town hall meeting. So, or we'll be providing at the town hall meeting, because this is recorded. So
correct.
This is right before the town hall
that's
meeting.
That's right.
So we're going to be providing that data, and we get that. We get that people are going to find it. And people. So I have no problem. I understand why the misinformation's out there. Mostly. I mean, there's some misinformation that people should know better than,
right.
But they still parrot that misinformation. But some of it is genuinely trying to find it, trying to find the source, understand that. But we're going to provide that data, specific data, tonight. And we appreciate people having some patience to wait for it. When the Board of Supervisors approved the last, you know, zoning extension, they also asked us, would you consider moving it to another location that's farther away or more aesthetically pleasing, meaning it's farther away? We said, yes, we would. So we're doing that. We're going to present that data tonight. And that actually slowed down the whole process of getting data out, because now I'm looking at data for another site that I didn't have data for.
So a new location means you start all over again.
Pretty much. Mostly all of that data is not applicable, is what it is. So, that's what we're doing. We have no problem with it. We appreciate folks asking us to look somewhere else. But you still got to look somewhere else. We have proximity to the facilities of gas, our facilities, MEC's facilities.
Sure.
Because it's actually for MEC load. And it's for MEC purposes, and so it's right into MEC's load center, as it would be. It's attached to our 69 kV system, which is MEC's. There's no transmission being built, no transmission being deployed to get out, to sell to anyone else, or
right.
to go to anyone else. It's actually an MEC-type resource. So, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get it out to Larry. I understand the frustration, appreciate the frustration. I'd probably be in the same place without data. But please give us a chance to give you the data. Before you take my hat off or paint me as the devil, please give me a chance to give you the actual data and specific data.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back right after these messages.
Guys, make your reservation now for Valentine's Day dinner at Laughlin Ranch Grill. The featured special starts with a wedge salad or a Caesar salad or a house salad. Then dinner, filet mignon and Australian lobster tail, plus vegetables and cheesecake dessert. Make your reservation now. Call Laughlin Ranch, 754-1243. Spoil your loved one. Regular menu also available. Nail down your reservation now. Call Laughlin Ranch, 754-1243.
Elevate your online experience with fast, reliable, 100% fiber internet from TWN Communications and Mojave Electric Cooperative. Now available in some areas of Bullhead City and for Mojave. Sign up today. Visit TWNcom.com/Mojave. That's TWNcom.com/Mojave. Or call 888-227-2095. Find the plan that's right for you and your family. Services provided by TWN Communications. Certain restrictions apply.
What do you see when imagining redoing your kitchen or bath countertops? Hi, I'm Angela, Customer Experience Manager with Quality Marble and Granite in Bullhead City. This is the warehouse where your inspiration comes to life. Quartzite, granite, dolomite, marble, and Dekton. Oh my! Caesar stone, Silestone, Revolux slabs, premium formed options as well. Wherever your imagination takes you, Quality Marble and Granite can bring it to life. Where quality is set in stone, Quality Marble and Granite.
Think you know about meth? Think again. Today's methamphetamine is far more potent, more addictive, and more deadly than ever before. Today's meth is often laced with the deadly drug fentanyl. In fact, deaths from meth use have doubled in Arizona. What can you do? Get the facts at thenewmeth.com and know there's hope and resources for recovery. This message is sponsored by the Substance Abuse Coalition Leaders of Arizona.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo, host of Sundays with Sinatra, right here on KNTR Talk. You know, I've had the honor of being with Frank Sinatra and knowing Frank Sinatra a little bit back in the day, and I'm so happy to be telling stories about the chairman of the board every Sunday evening from 5 to 7. Just sit back and relax and take a couple of hours away from the news and politics of the day. Ring-a-ding-ding, baby.
Sundays with Sinatra, 5 to 7 p.m., brought to you by the Anderson Automotive Group, Havasu Landing Resort and Casino, and the Joshua Tree Spa.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, live from the Ken Perella Real Estate Tower, brought to you by TWN Communications, Pro Fit Kitchen, and Barron Services. We're also brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant and Bakery, Mojave Mortgage, and Mojave Electric Cooperative. In fact, let's go back to Mojave Cooperative and get back to our interview with Tyler Carlson.
And we're back on Speak Out 2.0, and we talked a lot about having services for emergencies, like, you know, the police and the fire and the hospitals and cooling stations. You mentioned that because our last big outage did happen on a hot day, at a hot time of year. And I will be the first to tell you that I first thought about all those MEC employees that were having a three-day weekend, might have had a beer or two in them. It's Sunday evening. The last thing they're expecting is the power to go out. But now you're going to be in a position with this new generating station and with the solar station that you will be able to right away flip some switches and keep the hospitals on and the cooling stations, the fire, and the police.
Yeah, that's a big piece. Now, we'll add to that that now that we've built a system.
Right.
So we've had the last 18 months to rebuild that system. We've rebuilt it in a way in which that wind speed won't bother us at all for that particular backbone of line, and including all of the stuff that we've already done from a line hardening standpoint. But yeah, the cooling centers, all of that, I think that they're incredibly important. I don't want to just say you'll flip a switch, because
right.
You'll have to
it'll
go.
It'll take time.
It'll take a little bit of time.
Sure.
Within an hour or so, we'd be able to bring people up and bring those entities up. And I think that's pretty important, especially if we have a real kind of natural disaster type scenario where you have the bulk power system out. And it, like I said, it's happened a number of times that the bulk power system has been out, and for reasons that are no control of us.
Right.
Meaning the 2011, we weren't part of that. We weren't part of the 1996 outage. The outages that happened in California the last 3 years that had to do with bulk power systems being out because of fires and then them having to do rolling blackouts, we weren't involved in that either. In fact, the rolling blackout issues that occur routinely in California, we're not involved in that. We're not the part of that. But the point really is that if we had a storm similar to that, the one that we had, and if the bulk power system was out, which it was,
right?
If we had both of those and we had our system built now the way
it is. And when he says bulk power, he's talking about the power to you that you receive.
That's right. Yeah, bulk power system is a specific term of art, which is basically the high voltage system out there that transmits bulk power from one spot to another. It transmits bulk power from the market to us, or bulk power from the generation down in Apache to us, or other generation. That's bulk power that comes into us. And when those places are out, like they were, if it was today, situated like it was today, we'd be able to bring some up within the next hour or so. We'd have, we still have a couple of years yet to get specific standard operating procedures up. All we have now is a list of who they think need to be up.
But that is more than you had that day.
And yes, absolutely. We did not have that before. We had no planning of that type before. And nor did we have that planning with the county and with the city, which we've been working with the county and the city folks. We didn't have that planning before. I'm sure that there are some generators that people have put in that may not be needed in the future if this all gets built up. But, you know, we appreciate what people are thinking. But that cooling center thing was a big one, as well as hospitals are a big thing. If you actually ask hospitals, if they're in a large emergency, they can't keep their whole operations up. They
Correct.
Have to cut back on some of that operation, and they have generators there, but it's to pull up their critical load, their critical
right.
generation. Whereas if it was when we planned to do it, during that type of an outage, they'd be able to bring their whole system up and be able to operate their whole hospital or whatever that is, whether it be that, fire departments, whether that be sheriff's departments, police departments, and cooling centers, all of those, senior centers, all of those places that might need this type of help. We have been working with them for quite some time. They've established the list. We go from the list into making changes to our distribution system and then a standard operating procedures with these people, with all of these critical loads. How would we actually run that?
Tyler, been very informative. If people, for some reason, didn't make it Monday night, and they still have questions or concerns, or they read something on the web or read something on social media they thought contradicted something, who can they talk to?
They usually can talk to anybody from MECPA. They can actually...
Public Affairs.
Public Affairs. If they can't answer the question, they'll get it to somebody who can, which is the real reason why you want to ask that question of those particular folks. If the question needs to be answered by me, of course they'll run and find me to answer that question. But the Mavi Electric Public Affairs is a great place to start. Start with any of your questions, and we'll try to get answers to those questions.
All right, stick around. We're going to come right back, and we're going to continue our interview with Tyler Carlson from Mavi Electric Cooperative right after these messages. So stick around.
Amazing care happens in Western Arizona Regional Medical Center's Fast ER. We keep hearts beating, keep lungs breathing, stop strokes, and we are always ready to care for a multitude of serious injuries and illnesses. If it's a heart attack, remember that Fast Care can stop heart damage and let healing begin. Act quickly to seek care and know that we're ready in a heartbeat. For more information, visit WesternArizonaER.com.
Interest rates. The fight continues. Hello, Chad Hansen here, founder and CEO of Mojave Mortgage. It's no secret that interest rates have been savage lately, but rest assured that Mojave Mortgage is here to help you combat the high interest rates of the retail lenders with wholesale pricing and best-in-class customer service. Visit us at MojaveMortgages.com, where we invite you to be savage, not average.
I'm Tyler Savage, and I approve this message.
Mojave Mortgage, NMLS 1830581, Equal Housing Lender, Arizona License 1001852.
People are saying new year, new me. Let ProFit Kitchen help you. Healthy, fresh, and delicious food. 4 different salads, 12 wraps, 10 healthy burgers, 4 delicious bowls, and more for $24. Plus, fresh pressed juices, smoothies, and protein shakes. Dine in, catering, or to go. ProFit Kitchen. Eric's meal prep solutions are the best way to stay the course. Healthy, fresh, delicious. See the complete menu and place your order at ProFit Kitchen. KITCHIN.com.
The Mojave Community College Booster Club is helping to bring collegiate sports programs to our Mojave County Community College campuses. The first sport will be men's and women's soccer. The MCC Booster Club is in a campaign to raise funds to make this possible. We are in the final stretch of the drive. The annual fundraising golf tournaments in Lake Havasu, Kingman, and Bullhead City are upon us. Our hope is these tournaments will put us over our financial commitment to help bring sports to our local MCC campuses. The Booster Club is currently in need of corporate sponsors and can only reach our goal with our community's support. To find out about the different levels of sponsorships and benefits included, please contact Gary Reynolds at 928-716-8182. That's 928-716-8182 for more information. Thank you for supporting the MCC Booster Club's endeavor to bring college sports to our communities. The Mojave Community College Booster Club is a 501c3 entity.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, live from the Ken Perla Real Estate Building. Here, tower, don't forget it's a tower. It's huge. We're here Monday through Friday from noon to 1, and now we're going to get back to our interview. We interviewed Tyler Carlson on Monday. Unfortunately, he left yesterday for a conference, and so he wasn't going to be around, but he did want to get this information out to the public. So, again, back with Tyler Carlson here on Speak Out 2.0, recorded interview.
Just before we went to break, we talked about the new hospital and the new project north of Merrill. And apartments, 112 of them, I think, on Silver Creek. All these take power, and all these increase your power demand for from your suppliers, does the price of poker go up at that point in time, or does it go down?
Well, that's a great question, because that's what we've really been seeing over the last few years. As that, and I don't mean to be technical, as that amount of surplus capacity or surplus energy is available out there, it's usually, if there's a lot, it's cheaper. It's not a lot, and it is not cheaper. It actually becomes more and more expensive with scarcity. More scarce the product is, the more expensive it is. And one of our jobs is not just to find it, but also do it in the most cost-effective manner possible. I could find it, and I could buy it, and then it just means your rates are going up if I don't pay attention to this. This piece of making it sure it's most cost-competitive as possible, that's the piece that we're trying to get in with this specific application of this type of unit. And when you're talking about that, it's a great question. And we know that this any generation takes water, and granted, and it does take water, but in order for you to provide the power, there is a water requirement. Sure. And I would suggest to you that we can provide a whole bunch of power with a little bit of water in this particular case, not a whole lot of water. And tonight we'll be showing that data. We'll be talking to that data. We'll be showing you that data. But, yeah, it does take some water. It does in order. But this is probably the most efficient use of the water, as well as providing the most cost-effective way of handling this specific application.
Most of us grew up understanding our power comes from dams, where the water goes through and it generates the power. But in 2024, you're looking at a lot of other ways to get power. And from Chris's perspective, who is a power generator, he's probably even got more ideas up his sleeve.
Well, let's talk a little bit specifically about the power generation from dams. That's a great question. It happens a lot. Because we're sitting right next to Davis Dam, there's this false belief that all of our power comes from Davis Dam.
Right. You just go up there and plug in, right?
Yeah. I would suggest to you that power is it's economical. It's a good resource. It's a good source of power, but it's a diminishing resource. We all know that Hoover has got less and less water behind it. So
correct.
It's less and less power coming out of it, less and less capacity, meaning it's just not there. And the same is true as the water released out of those reservoirs goes down, you have less and less power. Now, you might say, well, we want more of that Davis Dam. I will tell you that everyone wants more of that Davis Dam. So we'd be in a line with everybody. But the truth is that it's already contractually committed by contract. So we have a certain amount. You're not going to get more.
Right.
Because you're not going to be able to take somebody else's. It's a dwindling resource. It's not a growing resource. If we were to get something, we'd have to take it from somebody else. And there's nobody willing to just give it to you. And it's contractually committed, meaning that if I tried to schedule more, and it's really not me, it's actually Chris, but if Chris tried to schedule more than I have allocation for, the government, the entity that actually schedules that would say, no.
You're not going
to
get it.
No, you have to schedule what you have contractually allocated, even if you try to. And there is no plugging in at the dam, as you say. It's all done scheduling, and I know a little bit about this because the schedules are all done for every entity that gets Parker Davis Power, which is the joint project for Parker Davis. All of those schedules get submitted to Western Area Power Administration, the government. The government then takes them all, make sure you're not asking for more than what your allotment is, or you're contractually able to get, and then they send a schedule that sends to the Bureau of Reclamation, and then the Bureau of Reclamation lets the water through the generators in accordance with that schedule.
And, you know, we think about it in our house, if we want to add a window AC or we want to add something, we know our power is going to go up. But we don't have to call you and say, hey, Tyler, I'm putting in a window AC in this one room where my dogs sleep at night. So my power bill is going to go up, which means you have to provide me more power, which means you have to bring in more power. You can't call Davis Dam and say, hey, send me a little bit more. Tune Force over here added an AC unit.
Yeah, I think I just pretty much covered that.
Yeah.
I don't get to ask for more than my contractual allotment is, nor does anyone else. If I tried to ask for more, that Western Air Power Administration entity that does the scheduling would reject that schedule and say, no, you can only ask for this much. You can't even ask for more. And you might say, well, then why even schedule at all? Because once in a while you ask for less. I mean, it could be you ask for less, but you can ask for more than your contract is. And I did that job for 18 years, so I know you can't get more.
So as you and your management and your board look forward, I mean, we've talked about the apartments and the condos and the growth and MCC's building apartments. You are projecting years down the road development that we're not even thinking about yet.
Yeah, we always do a 10-year window in which we do some windows that are out farther than that too. But realistically, that 10-year window one is the one that we do some load forecast. And we look at that load forecast, and then we're always trying to figure out how do we get to that next set of load. We have always traditionally left some amount of that load, meaning open to the market, meaning that we are exposed to the market to some extent.
Right.
If you don't do that, you end up overbuilding sometimes, and then you have more capacity than you need, and you hate to kind of pay for that because it costs you just like your house. It's a principal and interest payment. It's a carrying charge.
Sure.
It's a capital cost, just like your house would be. And if you built your house bigger than just, if there's two people in the house and you built a place for six, you get to pay for the carrying charge of six, right?
Right.
So truthfully, don't want to do that. So what we do is we left ourselves a little bit on the market, but that market has really hammered us. And not only has it hammered us cost-wise, there have been a couple of events over the last couple of years, and I'll let Chris tell us yes or no if I'm lying or not. But if I'm lying, I'm doing it by accident. But there have been a couple of times that we've bumped up against what's called an energy emergency. There are different stages of energy emergencies in which there are times during an energy emergency there is no energy available, meaning that even if you want to buy it at any price, it's not available. Then if they ever get to that, which we've been close at least two or three times, haven't we, Chris?
Correct.
All right, we've been close two to three times in the last couple of years. If you get to that energy emergency and there is no energy available and the demand is higher than that, they will start cutting load, meaning we'll have brownouts and blackouts just like California.
And that's going to be our summer times when it's the warmest, when everybody in this room is using more power than they do in December.
Without a doubt, it's going to be in the summer. It's not going to be in the winter. We don't have a lot of capacity or energy shortages in the winter. On the other side, that energy and the shortages that occur in the winter are typically natural gas, because the Midwest and the upper Northwest typically have a higher demand for natural gas. They use a lot of natural gas. And oh, by the way, that same natural gas that they use is the same natural gas we'll be using, the same that they use in their house and their stove. For their dryers, that's the same natural gas.
Fortunately, we don't get a lot of snow in Bullhead City.
We don't. We don't get a lot of that. But from an energy standpoint, the natural gas peaks are usually during the winter, although the summer is when the electricity peaks are.
Now let's talk about Kingland, which is only 35 miles away. During the summer, they don't use as much power as we do in Bullhead City or Havasu. Are you ever in a position to call them up and say, hey, I could use some more power from you because you're not using it?
The way the markets, it's a great question. I think it used to work that way a long time ago. I've been in this business for a little bit of time. So I've been in this business since 1976, and I know that there was a time in which you could just call up people to do that. The way the energy markets have evolved over time, whether you can say it's good or bad, is that it's really not that way anymore. You basically have a market. So if you are Unisource and whoever it is, you're in an area that you're not using, you don't have as much cooling or heating. Let's say it's cooler up in there.
Right.
First off, they plan for that, meaning their resources are planned specifically for that. So they're not planning to overproduce. The second part is they bid into and sell in the same market in which we would bid in to buy. So it's the market transaction. It's not necessarily anymore your next door neighbor scenario. Everyone sells into a market, and that's the way the general market works nowadays. There's very little bilateral marketing, which is what you were describing, which is you ask your buddy. Pretty much everybody is in a market at some particular point.
So as you're looking at this gas generation power station, are you also looking at another one a couple years down the road someplace else in our community?
Not in our community, but we are looking at some gas units to go down at Apache, a couple of gas units to go down in Apache. That would be more for we would get a portion of that, but it's more generally for all of our members than it is actually for Mojave Electric. But some of that is we know that some of our units, either from a cost standpoint because they're very inefficient, some of those very early units are inefficient, so it's actually more cost effective to replace them, as well as if this administration stays in place, this federal administration stays in place, we know that the pressure to shut down one of our coal units is going to be there.
Right.
You have to find a way to replace that. All of that is in our decisions of adding additional solar, batteries, and gas generation. And you can look at that guy down there and see if I'm saying that true.
Yeah, that's all correct. And so one of the things that we look at from our portfolio perspective, right, we've been around since 1961. Our general fleet is aging, right? And as the environment and the market is changing, we need to adapt to that. And so there's very five principles that we look at when we're trying to select a new resource. And the first thing is cost, right? Is it cost effective? The second thing is it efficient? Right, and as you move in different technologies, there's different types of efficiencies, but we're looking at efficiency. The other third thing that we're looking at is the cleanliness, right? The resources that we're looking at for the Mojave Energy Park are among the cleanest in the industry for this type of resource. And then the other thing is flexibility, right? So the fourth thing we're looking at is how is this resource able to adapt to be flexible to the needs of the system that it's serving, right? And the last thing is availability. So with a lot of different things that are going on in our electric environment, our electric industry, is supply chain issues, right? These resources are actually available that we can develop them to meet the peak needs that we need. And that's something that, you know, is very critical to Mojave. It's very critical to us as APCO. And we're certainly, you know, putting a lot of emphasis on evaluating how these resources were put in and focused on these five principles.
And availability, I want you to add to that. Availability is also availability of the fuel, the natural gas, because we do have areas in the state that don't have a natural gas availability, so it really doesn't matter that you want to put something there, you want to add something there. If you don't have that resource or that fuel availability, it doesn't really matter.
So as we explain this, you're looking at a lot of partnerships on a daily basis for me to flip on my lights.
There are. I would say that all of us are dealing with fuel. We're dealing with our loads as they change. We're dealing with load growth. We're also dealing with ever-changing markets, the markets itself in which you buy from. Those markets are changing. All of those things change. Every few years they're changing. And, yeah, you have to, as Chris mentioned, flexibility, you have to be flexible to be able to change in those markets.
Perkins Restaurant and Bakery invites you to stop in and enjoy Comfort Classics. Chicken strips melt, the classic cheeseburger, or prime rib Parmesan griller. Dinner plates include the steak and pepper skillet, a delicious country fried steak dinner, or the yummy prime rib dinner, plus your choice of over a dozen sides. Then top off your meal with a nice slice of chocolate French silk pie. Join My Perkins for specials and coupons. Perkins Family Restaurant and Bakery, Bullhead City.
Retirement and estate planning can be complicated. Hello, I'm Jack Mafauer, founder of East West Financial. I specialize in retirement planning, estate planning, asset protection, guaranteed retirement income, and investments with principal protection and final expenses. I have over 30 years' experience with many different plans available. Some plans even start paying immediately. Call me. Talking and questions are free at East West Financial. 928-888-9828. That's 928-888-9828.
The Legacy Rehab and Care Center in Bullhead City is designed to help patients with skilled nursing needs. This includes personal care and hygiene assistance, meal service, laundry, and housekeeping service, plus an on-site beauty salon and beautiful secured outdoor patios where you can sit and enjoy the Arizona mountainous terrain. The Legacy prides itself by providing life enrichment activities for all their residents. See for yourself by following Legacy Rehab on Instagram today.
Hi, MEC members. This is Allison Ellingson, Chief Communications Officer with Mojave Electric Cooperative. Mojave Electric Cooperative and Arizona Electric Power Cooperative, together we need your help. MEC, with our generation and transmission provider, supply reliable, affordable electricity to you. To continue providing power when you need it, we must add more power generation resources, including renewable energy and flexible, efficient natural gas units. So MEC is asking you to go to ReliableEnergyArizona.com and show your support today.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity provider and employer.
No one cares for bed bugs, termites, spiders, or scorpions. When residents see them, they call Barron Pest Solutions. With over 50 years' experience, Barron Pest Solutions are professionals when it comes to pest removal and preventing them from returning. If you have critters around your home that you want gone, call Barron at 928-758-5499. Monthly services available even for winter visitors. 758-5499. Barron Pest Solutions. Quality, experience, family.
This is Wayne Colburn from the Needles Chamber of Commerce, and I'm very excited to present our Lucky Greens Golf Tournament, Saturday, February 24th at the River's Edge Golf Course. Polish up those clubs and join us for beautiful weather, the river, good fellowship, food, incredible prizes, and oh yes, can't forget the golf. For more information, email info@needleschamber.com or give me a call at 760-326-2050.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, live from the Ken Perella Real Estate Tower. And if you're just joining us, we've been in the middle of a recorded interview. On Monday, I recorded an interview with Tyler Carlson, the CEO of Mojave Electric Cooperative. We're going to get back to that interview right now.
And we're back on Speak Out 2.0. And we talked a lot about having services for emergencies like, you know, the police and the fire and the hospitals and cooling stations. You mentioned that because our last big outage did happen on a hot day at a hot time of year. And I will be the first to tell you that I first thought about all those MEC employees that were having a three-day weekend, might have had a beer or two in them. It's Sunday evening. The last thing they're expecting is the power to go out. But now you're going to be in a position with this new generating station and with the solar station that you will be able to right away flip some switches and keep the hospitals on and the cooling stations, the fire, and the police.
Yeah, that's a big piece. Now, we'll add to that that now that we've built a system.
Right.
So we've had the last 18 months to rebuild that system. We've rebuilt it in a way in which that wind speed won't bother us at all for that particular backbone of line, and including all of the stuff that we've already done from a line hardening standpoint. But yeah, the cooling centers, all of that, they're I think that they're incredibly important. I don't want to just say you'll flip a switch because
right.
You'll have to
It'll
take a little bit of time.
Sure.
Within an hour or so, we'd be able to bring people up and bring those entities up. And I think that that's pretty important, especially if we have a real kind of natural disaster type scenario where you have the bulk power system out. And it, like I said, it's happened a number of times that the bulk power system has been out, and for reasons that are no control of us.
Right.
Meaning the 2011, we weren't part of that. We weren't part of the 1996 outage. The outages that happened in California the last 3 years that had to do with bulk power systems being out because of fires and then them having to do rolling blackouts, we weren't involved in that either. In fact, the rolling blackout issues that occur routinely in California, we're not involved in that. We're not the part of that. But the point really is that if we had a storm similar to that, the one that we had, and if the bulk power system was out, which it was,
right?
If we had both of those and we had our system built now the way
it is. And when he says bulk power, he's talking about the power to you that you receive.
That's right. Yeah. Bulk power system is a specific term of art, which is basically the high voltage system out there that transmits bulk power from one spot to another. It transmits bulk power from the market to us, or bulk power from the generation down in Apache to us, or other generation. That's bulk power that comes into us. And when those places are out, like they were, if it was today, situated like it was today, are we'd be able to bring some up within the next hour or so. We'd have, we still have a couple of years yet to get specific standard operating procedures up. All we have now is a list of who they think need to be up.
But that is more than you had that day.
Yes, absolutely. We did not have that before. We had no planning of that type before, and nor did we have that planning with the county and with the city, which we've been working with the county and the city folks. We didn't have that planning before. I'm sure that there are some generators that people have put in that may not be needed in the future if this all gets built up. But you know, we appreciate what people are thinking. But that cooling center thing was a big one, as well as hospitals are a big thing. If you actually ask hospitals if they're in a large emergency, they can't keep their whole operations up. They
correct.
Have to cut back on some of that operation, and they have generators there, but it's to pull up their critical load, their critical right. generation. Whereas if it was when we planned to do it, during that type of an outage, they'd be able to bring their whole system up and be able to operate the whole hospital or whatever that is. Whether it be that, fire departments, whether that be sheriff's departments, police departments, and cooling centers, all of those, senior centers, all of those places that might need this type of help. We have been working with them for quite some time. They've established a list. We go from the list into making changes to our distribution system and then a standard operating procedures with these people, with all of these critical loads. How would we actually run that?
Tyler, been very informative. If people, for some reason, didn't make it Monday night, and they still have questions or concerns, or they read something on the web or read something on social media they thought contradicted something, who can they talk to?
They can usually can talk to anybody from MECPA. They can actually
Public Affairs.
If they can't answer the question, they'll get it to somebody who can, which is the real reason why you want to ask that question of those particular folks. If the question needs to be answered by me, of course, they'll run and find me to answer that question, but the Mavi Electric Public Affairs is a great place to start. Start with any of your questions, and we'll try to get answers to those questions.
All right. Once again, you've been listening to an interview with Tyler Carlson from Mojave Electric Cooperative. We recorded it on Monday because, unfortunately, he wasn't going to be around. He couldn't do it yesterday or today. And so I hope you found it informative. If you miss it, you can pick it up on KNTRtalk.com. Sometime tomorrow it will be up on there. Well, it'll be up there tonight, so you can listen tomorrow if you want to. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the bike rodeo and the river cruisers. So three different ladies will be in here talking about that. Tomorrow on Speak Out from Lake Havasu City, sound advice. So tune into that prior to me. And, of course, in just a couple minutes here, Sean Hannity will be in your ears right after Fox News. I do want to remind you that tonight is the Veterans in Motion Sweetheart Ball. And they have the Legends Band playing. And this is at Fiesta RV Resort Ballroom. That's right on the curve on the highway on the south end of town before you get to the college. And their tickets are available. And I'll give you a phone number to call for them. It is a cell phone. And it's 760-831-3650. And call up and reserve your tickets. And take your wife tonight or your sweetie and go down there and dance to live music. And this is, of course, a fundraiser for Veterans in Motion, so you're helping them out at the same time. You can't beat that. Also, don't forget, Laughlin Ranch. You can go there tonight and have a nice dinner. Call and make a reservation right now, 754-1243. And that's going to can it for the tuna. I'm out of here. Everyone have a great day, and we will talk to you in 23 hours.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.